This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Ah, come in, come in. No, I was just finishing up. There we go. Have a seat, have a seat. I see you are a big film fan, yes, but you've never seen a single horror film. No, that's okay, because today we're going to go beneath the blood and look at some of the greatest horror films of all time and find out why you should be watching them. This is Beneath the Blood.
Here's Johnny!
Back to the 80s again. We might get to the turn of the millennium soon, but for now we're stuck in 1980 with Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. The Shining is a masterpiece of cinema and is sometimes thrown into best films of all time lists. It is a subgenre of horror that I've yet to discuss, psychological horror. It burrows its way into the mind of the viewer and continuously taunts them, never giving them a sense of relief. The interesting thing about psychological horror films is that it's hard to pinpoint an era in time in which they reign supreme, for example, slashers being prominent in the 80s. They sort of just crop up every now and then, such as Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby in 1968, or Jonathan Demme's The Silence of the Lambs in 1991. Director Stanley Kubrick was known as a highly versatile filmmaker, having directed films in almost every genre: comedy, science fiction, historical epic, war, and film noir, but never horror. Elements of psychological horror had been present in films such as A Clockwork Orange, but had never taken center stage until The Shining. Adapted from Stephen King's novel of the same name, The Shining follows Jack Torrance and his family Wendy and Danny as they stay in the Overlook Hotel alone for the winter period, as Jack looks after and maintains it as the caretaker, slowly growing insane as he is taunted by the evil spirits of the hotel. A simplistic premise, however, the final piece is far from it. It toys with your mind with a haunting score, horrifying visuals, and completely unexplainable encounters that always keep you on edge and watching to the very end of its nearly 2.5 hour runtime. This is why you should watch The Shining.
Red rum. Red rum. Red rum. Red rum. Red rum! Red rum! Red rum! Red rum! Red rum! Red rum! Red rum!
Stop it!
Red rum! Red rum!
This is the first film I've covered that's been based on a book. The topic of book versus film is something I wanted to briefly cover given The Shining's differences from the book. Author of the original 1977 novel, Stephen King famously despised Kubrick's adaptation of the film. There were many points of difference between book and film that King disliked. However, the point I want to make concerns all book-to-film adaptations. In my view, a film like The Shining, which uses the book as a starting point and builds on it with the director's own personal input, is a more creative and original take on the original story. No, it doesn't always work, but I always hear complaints like, "Ugh, it's nothing like the book," in regards to any film based on a book. And all I can think of is, maybe that's the point. Wouldn't a visual reconstruction of a novel that desperately tries to use as much as it can from the said novel be, I don't know, derivative? Lazy? Books are a completely different medium to films, and aspects found in them cannot be effectively translated to the screen. To me, a director's own take on a story would be far more interesting than someone regurgitating every little detail found within a novel.
I think you hurt my head real bad.
The Shining provides a unique take on horror. The horror comes from both the natural and the supernatural. The natural comes from the evil we see in Jack. From the very start of the film, there's something off about him. In his interview for the caretaker job at the hotel, he has an unnerving manner to him. He speaks for his family, saying they'd love the isolation just as much as he would. And when told the story of a previous caretaker killing his family and then himself, he's completely unfazed and says,
"Well, you can rest assured, Mr. Ullman, that's not going to happen with me. And as far as my wife is concerned, I'm sure she'll be absolutely fascinated when I tell her about it. She's a confirmed ghost story and horror film addict."
Early on in the film, it is revealed that a few years previously, he dislocated his son Danny's shoulder whilst drunk after pulling him away from some school papers Danny had thrown about. He's condescending to his wife and makes implicative comments about her parenting, such as,
"See? It's okay. You saw it on the television."
When Danny says he learned of cannibalism on TV and is just all around abusive as the film goes on. The supernatural element comes from the malevolent force of the Overlook and the spirits that reside within, taunting both Danny and Jack as they both have the Shine, a power that allows someone to foresee events and even ones that have already happened, as well as having conversations with other Shiners through their minds.
"I can remember when I was a little boy, my grandmother and I could hold conversations entirely without ever opening our mouths. She called it shining. And for a long time, I thought it was just the two of us that had the shine to us. Just like you probably thought you was the only one. But there are other folks, though mostly they don't know it or don't believe it."
Jack is unaware of this power and is manipulated by the spirits into doing their evil bidding. Danny, however, is fully aware of this power as the Overlook's cook, Dick Halloran, tells him of it. Danny is able to resist the spirits attempting to claim his soul for the Overlook. Jack, however, is not so lucky as he slowly descends into madness, exacerbated by his already abusive and addictive personality. The film balances these two elements of horror in a cleverly subtle way, and one could even theorise that the spirits are all in Danny's head to distract him from the real-world horrors of his abusive father.
"Come and play with us." "Play with us, Danny. Forever and ever and ever."
Some techniques The Shining uses to amplify the horror is the use of a haunting score. From the very beginning, we are suffocated by this haunting music led by strings, organs, choirs, and percussion. The leads change by track and are used to suit certain scenes. The organ takes center stage in the opening scene of the film, and combined with the huge tracking shots that makes the car driving towards the Overlook seem incredibly small and insignificant to this looming power following it. When Jack finally gives in to the powers of the Overlook and becomes violent, the strings are the most prominent sound and are truly haunting and attack your ears in a good, terrifying way, of course. The soundtrack is probably the most effective technique and is a huge part of the film. It can almost dominate scenes with its loud, abrasive sound and truly convey the emotion of some scenes. Another aspect of the film is the fantastic acting. Shelley Duvall's manic and absolutely terrified performance, which was unfortunately bullied and abused out of her by Kubrick, something she has gone on to say made her a better person, but would never do again. Method actors like Christian Bale and Robert De Niro, they've got nothing on her. Danny Lloyd's stiff performance, making him impossible to read and all the more creepy, made all the more impressive by the fact that he was only 6 years old at the time of filming. And of course, the performance that steals the show, Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance. Jack Nicholson provides an incredibly expressive performance. The evils and horrors he is going through are all internalized, hence the label psychological horror. In order to convey this visually, he uses maniacal facial expressions, especially as he gets closer and closer to losing it, making for a very captivating performance in a situation where the audience cannot fully understand what the character is going through.
"Hi, Lloyd.
A little slow tonight, isn't it?
These two elements of the film are without a doubt the biggest and are what contributes to the horror the most. Even if you're not necessarily reading into the film, you still can't take your eyes off of Jack or ignore the horribly brooding soundtrack and atmosphere. Similar to Alien, The Shining can be rather thematic, and they can be as subtle as the audience perceives it to be. What I mean by this is that the film can throw these not-so-subtle hints at its themes, but they are presented in a way where the audience could just write them off as simple world-building or some background information to the hotel. When giving a tour to Jack and his family, the Overlook's manager, Stuart Ullman, remarks that the hotel was built on an ancient Indian burial ground, and that they even had to repel a few Indian attacks when construction was taking place. Now, something like this could be written off as a simple historical fact about the hotel to the casual viewer, but the more accepted and most likely intended narrative is that it contributes to the film's themes of cycles of repeated violence. The hotel was founded on violence, and later on when Ullman is continuing his tour, we hear comments on authentic Indian designs and how they have appropriated these into the hotel, despite it being founded on murdering the very peoples who created these pieces of art. The theme of cycles of repeated violence is also found in Jack and the previous caretaker who murdered their family and crosses over with the themes of domestic violence. Jack is pretty much doomed to repeat this violence from the start, as the Overlook attempts to ensure that. He is pretty much dismissive of his family from the beginning, playing into the domestic violence themes. Wendy and Danny are physically trapped in the hotel with Jack by the snow and harsh weather conditions, which is a fairly clear representation of what domestic violence feels like. As an onlooker, all you can want and say is for them to get out of there, but in reality it is never that simple, and The Shining does a good job in reflecting this. A third theme that plays into the domestic violence aspect is the theme of alcoholism. It is made clear from the start that Jack was an alcoholic with the story of him hurting Danny. Jack begins drinking again during his stay at the Overlook and makes remarks to the ghostly bartender Lloyd regarding the incident with Danny and still tries to justify his actions.
I did hurt him once, okay? It was an accident. Completely unintentional. Could have happened to anybody. And it was 3 goddamn years ago! The little fucker had thrown all my papers all over the floor. All I tried to do was pull them up! The momentary loss of muscular coordination. Few extra foot-pounds of energy per second.
These three themes all play into Jack's deteriorating mental state. Doomed to repeat cycles of violence, as humanity often does, he descends into madness, taunted by the ghosts of the hotel playing into his abusive and addictive personality. They offer him the catalyst, alcohol. The Shining is a landmark in horror history, and just cinema in general, providing a unique take on horror that blends very realistic, horrifying elements such as domestic abuse and balances this with paranormal and supernatural horror elements. Many horror films will just take one of these to use as its main source of horror, but The Shining uses both and balances them perfectly, resulting in an extremely tense and frightening film, taken to a whole new level with its absolutely terrifying score. I mean, just the score on its own is scary enough, let alone with the terrifying visuals and overall atmosphere of the film. The acting talent is genuinely some of the best put to screen, Jack Nicholson being the standout, of course, with his maniacal performance, but I simply cannot understate Shelley Duvall's performance, her performance of a highly abused and broken down wife just trying to protect her son from an abusive father is horrifying in itself, and a piece of acting that really deserves more recognition, especially given what she had to go through to give a performance like that. Its themes directly play into the narrative, as well as making comments on things such as colonization, domestic abuse, and the cycles of violence and mistakes that humanity is doomed to repeat, as it has done many times before. Each element of The Shining can be scary on its own, but they all combine to create a truly terrifying, disturbing experience that cannot be cast aside, despite what Stephen King thinks about it. If you've seen the film, or did end up watching and loving it as much as I do, I would recommend checking out the book. I've read some of it and do intend to finish it, but I've also read other Stephen King novels and they are excellent. A few years ago they also adapted Stephen King's sequel to The Shining, Dr. Sleep, into a film, and I'd say it's definitely worth checking out. It's obviously not as good as the original, and I feel it doesn't necessarily know which adaptation of The Shining it wants to base itself on, but if you loved The Shining, it's definitely worth checking out. Thank you for listening to the Beneath the Blood podcast, where I take a look at some of the greatest horror films of all time and explain to you why you should be watching them. Next week, we'll just be reaching the turn of the millennium with a film that completely changed horror as we know it just a few years after Scream and pretty much invented an entire new genre and an entire new experience of horror.